Assalamu alaikum. Wow.
We will never forget this. You need to tell your children what happened in Gaza. You need to tell them exactly who did it, exactly whose families were involved in this. And when you hear in the future somebody tell you, like, we're going to Gaza Beach for a vacation, you need to look at them like they are the absolute vermin of our society, because they are. They are. Gaza belongs to nobody but the Palestinians.
This is going to be amazing. Inviting our sister in humanity, Candace Owens, to worship the Creator, not his creation, after hearing that a Muslim invited her to read the Quran.
Hi, American Muslim fan here. In the spirit of friendship between our faiths, here is an excerpt from the Quran about Jesus, who, speaking as a baby to defend Mary's honor, said, I am the servant of God. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet, and he has made me blessed wherever I am. God is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. I think all of us are realizing the tremendous need for true faith right now. And I had sort of tweeted, I think a couple of days ago, that you can sense a chink in the armor of deception.
So that was a translation of the Quran. And just to make it clear, Islam doesn't need anyone. God doesn't need us, Candace Owen, the Tates, whoever is out there. We need him. These are the opportunities to share the truth with people like Candace, people who are open-minded. And ultimately, if someone is sincerely seeking the truth, asking God Almighty to guide them, he will. Now, this is my plan. This is what I want to do in this video. I'll go over what she read, who Jesus really was, and then I'll invite her to the concept that's all over the Bible. It's even in the Lord's Prayer. Submission to the will of God alone in one word. This is summed up with Islam. After giving her some clear proofs and evidences. Now, what Candace read from the Quran was Surah Maryam. This is named after Jesus' blessed mother, verses 27 to 33. The original, unchanged, unedited Quran. This is the literal word of God. Where Jesus says, where he's speaking, God's quoting him. He said in verse 27, then she came to her people carrying him. They said, oh, Mary, you have certainly done a terrible thing. So now they're seeing this chaste woman. She's coming with a baby, and they're trying to now accuse her of doing something immoral. Marriage out of wedlock, producing a child. How did this child come about? It goes on in 28. Oh, sister Aaron, your father was not an indecent man, nor was your mother unchaste. Now picture this. A miracle happening right before their very eyes. This is the purest of women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, coming out with a baby, no father. And I want to make the side note for those who say that's why he was God, because he had no father. The Quran actually refutes this by pointing to Adam. It's the first man who he didn't have a father or mother, so he would have been a greater God, if you put it by that example. Now let's continue. Usually a man and a woman come together in marriage and have a child. That's how they're supposed to anyway. But in this case, there was no father. God Almighty, the Creator, simply said, be, kun fayakun, be and it is. This is a miracle happening right before their very eyes. Moving on to verse 29 in the Quran. He says, so she, Mary, pointed to him, to who? To Jesus, the baby, Isa. And they said, how can we speak to an infant in the cradle? This is Jesus' first miracle. He's defending his mother's honor. Moving on to verse 30. He, Jesus, said, indeed, I am the servant of Allah. It says Allah, but Allah is in Aramaic how he would address God. Allah in Aramaic. Look it up. In Arabic, Allah, sister language to Arabic. So he says, indeed, I am a servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. Verse 31. He says, and he made me blessed wherever I may be. And he has enjoined upon me prayer and charity as long as I live. Verse 32. And he made me dutiful to my mother. And he has not made me arrogant or rebellious. Now, look at the example in these verses, how blessed Jesus is here. The reverence given to Jesus, peace be upon him. His first miracle is defending his mother's honor, calling people to pure monotheism, to prayer, to charity, and to being dutiful to his mother, not arrogant or rebellious. I mean, this is profound. Candace was reading it, and hopefully she watches this and she reflects over these verses and she continues on, because there's a whole entire chapter. That chapter she was reading, again, like I mentioned earlier, is named after Jesus' mother. Wouldn't you want to know more about her, more about him? What's there in the Quran? Candace also mentioned how much money is behind these Judeo-Christian programs.
Deception. Like, we're learning a lot about how a lot of money has been put behind these Judeo-Christian programs, which was something that I would speak about with Charlie, because he was, in fact, very interested in Catholicism.
Imagine someone who said about your God, I want you to just imagine this, a God that you worship, a person that you worship, that someone saying that he was burning in the hellfire and poop, excuse my language, and his mother was a really bad woman, a whore. Imagine that. No amount of money could justify that fake relationship. That's what it is, this term. It's made up propaganda. Anybody who looks into it and finds out what the other side is saying, these disgusting things about Jesus and his mother, imagine if that was your own mother, someone talking about her like that. How would you feel towards that person? And we can go on and on, but let's continue. Candace, she was reading the Quran where Jesus is honored here, yet somehow Muslims are painted as the enemy. This is just mind-blowing, ladies and gentlemen. Candace, I'm sure you can understand. It's just mind-blowing. But at the end of the day, you said it, it's all about the money they're spending to deceive you. Now, remember, she's the one who exposed those text messages of Charlie Kirk 48 hours before he was killed, where Charlie Kirk talked about losing the $2 million a year from that Sheldon Group, a group that spends even more to spread lies and misinformation about Islam and Muslims. And my recent guest exposed this. Let's have a look.
Charlie Kirk was getting $2 million a year from the Shulman Foundation. The Shulman Foundation is the main source of Islamophobia in the United States of America. It's a big rich Jew, the Shulman Foundation.
Shulman Foundation, wow.
Yeah, and so what happens? 48 hours before Charlie Kirk is killed, Shulman announces he's kicking Charlie out. No more money. That was a nail in his coffin. That was one nail among many in his coffin.
Now, there's a saying, show one proof to a person seeking the truth, they'll accept it. Show 1,000 proofs to one who isn't sincere, they'll reject them all. Which one are you, Candace? I really want you to sincerely think about that. We're going to have to give you one proof, a few of these more as I go along. And then if you're sincere, you're going to accept. Or a person can go on and give thousands of proofs. It's just not sincere. They're not seeking. They're not looking. And then they're going to just reject them all. And that's where we're moving on to the Quran, which isn't just a book. It's a living miracle revealed over 23 years, piecemeal. It's been preserved for over 1,400 years, recited by Muslims daily, by millions of Muslims daily who have memorized the entire book. That's why it's authentic. It's been preserved. No other scripture can make that claim as the Quran. You can't. You're not going to find anybody who's memorized the entire Bible. You can take all the religious books. We often repeat this. Throw them away, burn them. You can only bring back the Quran. You cannot bring these other books back. Beyond preservation, its scientific and linguistic miracles, predictions continue to amaze people every single day. That's why it's the fastest growing way of life in the world. It describes the formation of the embryo in stages, exactly as modern embryology confirms today, something only known centuries later. It says the mountains are like pegs that stabilize the Earth's crust, proven by geology. It mentions that the universe is expanding, which scientists only discovered in the 20th century. There's so much more, so many more miracles that we can go ahead and mention from the Quran. Every one of these statements comes to a man, Prophet Muhammad, who could not read or write. He was illiterate. He was known as trustworthy, the man that his people trusted with all of their personal belongings. They trusted him to full extent, and they knew also that he could not read or write. This book is coming from him. So how could Prophet Muhammad have known all these things unless it was from the one who created everything, from the Creator? So we know the Quran is a living miracle to prove that he was a prophet from the Creator. It's not just blind faith. Now, Islam's predictions have a 100% accuracy rate. I really want you to think about that. Here are just a few that the Prophet Muhammad foretold. So this is outside of the Quran from his authentic prophetic statements. He predicted people will travel to mosques in conveyances that look like boxes. He's actually describing cars, man. 1400 years ago, way before Henry Ford was even born. Prophet Muhammad, he predicted music will become widespread and people will have musical instruments, headphones like this one, around their heads. Just look around, AirPods, headphones, 100%. This is what we see. He predicted and he warned of a rise in fornication, adultery, and that these new diseases that we're seeing, like never before in the past, they weren't known to us, that they'd be prevalent today. We live in a hookup culture, OnlyFans, STDs, diseases that never existed, HIV, herpes, monkeypox, you name it, the list goes on. Prophet Muhammad, he said, people will have relations like donkeys in public and no one will stop them. And now we literally see public indecency becoming entertainment. Exactly as it was foretold. You know, there are so many more of these predictions and prophecies. Just type in miracles of the Quran, predictions by Prophet Muhammad. And every single one of these predictions has come true. I'm not talking about 50%, 75%. Or 99%, I'm talking about 100% accuracy rate. So here's the question. If Islam can predict your world with 100% accuracy, what does that tell you about its truth regarding the afterlife? When we leave this life, we're going to die. And then there's a day of judgment. And it's talked about in the Quran. Paradise, hellfire, your eternal destiny. That's why we've come to the point that I was really like, wow, about getting the opportunity right now. Hopefully we can meet in person one day, Candace. But for now, I'm inviting you, Candace, to take a deeper look into Islam. It all began with the first man, Adam, who was told to submit his will to the will of God. That's what Islam means. Peace by submission to the will of God. And that made Adam a Muslim, a submitter to God. This is the same message taught from the beginning. And here are just a few of the great messengers that were sent proclaiming the same message. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and finally Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. But there were many more in between. Each one of them came with the same call. Worship the Creator, not his creation. Submit to God, not your desires. Live morally upright lives. None of them ever taught that God is a Trinity, or that you should worship a Jewish man as God, or that someone else would die for your sins. No, we're all born in original goodness, as God Almighty teaches us in the Quran. Because all these other concepts, these are made up concepts. God doesn't have a birthday. I want you to really think about this. You got a birthday. Your father got a birthday. Your grandfather got a birthday. God doesn't have a birthday. He doesn't have a nationality. He doesn't have a zip code. He was never born and he never dies. He doesn't eat food or use the bathroom. And if you worship a man God, you're worshiping a man with a nationality, a Jewish man who went to the bathroom. Use your common sense, Candace, and everyone else watching. We're not trying to offend nobody. We're just trying to really shake them up to think, because there's layers of deception. And you could see in your life, you went from working to the Israeli Wire and all of the things you used to preach and teach, and you were just repeating much of the lies that are pushed out. This is a deeper one. These are pagan ideas that were mixed with monotheism over time. But the truth has always been simple and pure. God is one, absolutely one. No philosophy after this, no confusion, just pure, absolute monotheism. We also find this in the Bible, but we also find other things that can never be from God, because those same people we were talking about earlier changed, edited, added fabrications to the book. Have a quick listen to what Bible scholars actually have to say.
People, of course, call the gospel books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we don't know who wrote these books, and there's no point calling them Sam, Fred, Jerry, and Harry. I mean, they're written by people we don't know who they were written by. They are anonymous. You might not think so because they have the title, The Gospel According to Matthew. Whoever put that title on it was an editor later. The followers of Jesus were Aramaic-speaking peasants from Galilee, lower-class men who were not educated. In fact, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, are literally said to be illiterate. They couldn't read and write. Of course not. They were fishermen. They didn't go to school. The vast majority of people in the ancient world never learned to read, let alone write. And their native language was Aramaic. These books are written in Greek by highly educated, rhetorically trained writers who are skilled in Greek composition.
Now that's why God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, in Aramaic. Look, Jesus spoke Aramaic. He didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. And he called God. You can type this up like I told you earlier. Look, Allah. And I always repeat this. So when we say Allah, you're like, who's Allah? This is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also, in the Arabic Bible, it's there. Allah, this is the Creator, the one God. This is why he sent the Quran, the final revelation from the Creator until the end of time. Now, it'd be a shame if you wouldn't pick up the book as a potential book from God and read it, asking him to guide you. And if that makes sense to you, Candace, then you're already on your way to becoming a true submitter, a worshiper of the same God that Jesus worshiped and called people to worship. So here's the next step. Repeat after me. If you believe that you shouldn't worship anything in creation, not a stick, a stone, a saint, an idol, an icon, nobody or nothing. Just like in John 17, 3, where it says, that Jesus allegedly said that this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God. If you're ready to worship that only true God and the final messenger during Jesus' time, he was a messenger. And in that verse, it says the only true God and Jesus whom you have sent. That was the Shahada at that time. And Moses, you would have said Moses is the messenger. At this time, Muhammad is the final messenger. He's not calling you to worship himself or anything in creation, but to devote yourself solely and humbly to the one who created you, the one who took care of you when you're in your mother's womb, the one who gave you life, who you have to return to, that you agree this is what's in your nature. You just have to give birth to it. You agree it fits, then proclaim it, and then you're going to have to live by it. And that testimony that comes from the heart, that you declare that I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except the Creator Allah and that Muhammad is his final messenger. And there you have it. That's how simple it is to taking that first step. For those who are along their way and they're really sincere, they need a little bit more time, do your homework. This is the homework I want to give you. If you will, start asking the Creator alone directly to guide your heart to the straight path. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Guide me, guide me, guide me. Because without God guiding us, we are lost. So ask him directly, no middle person, no intermediary, just to the Creator alone. Guide me to the straight path. And go to thedeanshow.com. I'll give you a free gift there. It's a free gift from me to you. It's the Quran. Read it. We know it's the verbatim word of God Almighty. For you, a potential book from the Creator, go to the Dean Show. I'll get it to you for free. And until next time, make dua for our sister in humanity, Candace. May God Almighty Allah guide her to the truth. We'd love to have you on the program. We'd love to have you on the program, Candace. We could talk privately, publicly, whatever you'd like. Reach out, reach back. We try to reach out. If anybody can put us in touch with Candace Owens, go ahead and do so. And we do this out of the love. Thank you very much. Subscribe if you have not already. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.